This is Hannah.
This is Rachel.
And this is
What I'd Like to Tell People.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Hannah.
How was your week?
It was okay. It was long, to be honest. I think my tire. See, I am so tired because of the weather, you know, and it getting darker earlier, that I'm just been tired all week, you know, just not really feeling it. But, you know, it wasn't a horrible week. It was just that type of week where you're like, what am I doing? And where am I? But you know, it wasn't bad. Now I'm waking up now because it's a new week. So how was your week?
It was good. Over the weekend, I went to see Morgan, one of my college roommates who is listening. And she's always like, because she didn't, I mentioned her name and I was like, did you listen to the episode? And she's like, yes. And she was like, her husband was listening to, and was like, oh, you did, you know, like this whenever I like mentioned about like the, going to the V Club and stuff. And so we were talking about it because I like mentioned that I always went with her. But we went to a hockey game, and it was the very first hockey game I ever went to. And her husband, unfortunately, so Michael is his name, so I'm going to call him out now. And he sat beside the craziest lady possible. She had a piece of pizza that was like a half size of a pizza, but she said it was a piece. And then like she had like a boyfriend or significant other with her, but she decided that she was going to put the pizza box on Michael's lap. So like the lid of the pizza box, and like a normal person would like hold it up and hold it away from the person.
I did that in the theaters. Like I would always put it up in the theater.
Yeah, she just flopped it right over his legs. She also offered him some of it. He, you know, declined. She also, this is probably one of the funniest things, and I'm sorry, Michael, if I'm telling the story wrong, if you're listening, but she had an earplug in the side that her significant other was sitting on, but not on the side that Michael was on. And like the guy said, she was like, oh, I can't listen to him talk. And so then he like said something, the guy said something to her, and she goes, it sounds like he said someone's not getting laid tonight. So
she like, what an awkward situation. It's so, but that's hilarious at the same time.
She was like a hidden camera show. I like.
And then she starts talking to poor Michael. Oh my God.
Yeah, and what like story for remember, like it was like she was after Mike, like she was, that's, you know, just gonna like push this guy to the side,
like a revenge almost. Yeah. It's like,
and apparently she just ate a whole lot of food, and like she I saw her constantly eating, but she wanted him to go get popcorn and a corn dog, and he only came back with popcorn and thought she said popcorn or corn dog, but she wanted to have both. She already ate half a pizza, but anyway, she it's just like insane. Like it was just like,
poor guy though. It's like you couldn't even freaking win either.
The funny thing is, like, so you know, Morgan was sitting in the middle, and like he decided to sit beside her, and he like really regretted not having me sit beside her, which she probably would have like ignored me because, you know, I'm a female, so
you know which.
But like it was like a constant throughout the game, and then they left the game early, so they didn't even stay. So I don't know.
It sounds like a very interesting.
Yeah, story. It was just bizarre behavior. Storytelling though, but
sounds, you know, like a typical sports game. I don't know what to say. There's like, always weird stuff at sports games.
Yeah, so I'd never been to a hockey game, so I don't know if that's typical or not to hockey. But
well,
we just
see bashy.
What's bashy?
Like bashing a lot.
Oh, bashing. Yes. Yeah. I was like, bashy? Who's this?
No, that's
person?
Literally what it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. But I thought bashy. I thought you said bashy.
Oh no, I just made up a word. So nothing.
Yeah, I saw a fight, and then I feel like they're just like, if you're a hockey player, you just have to like fight. So
yeah, my parents like watching it. Sorry. Anyway.
Yeah. No, no. And I actually kind of quickly, I felt like I understood what was going on more than other sports.
Yeah, they started to like, they like it when it's like, because some teams, they'll just want to fight, you know, the whole time. Then they hate it because they're like, come on, like, move on with the game. But other than that, like you were saying, it's easy to understand.
Well, yeah, because like the penalty and then they put a player out and stuff. I was like, oh, okay. I can understand this a little bit.
We should get together sometime.
Yeah.
For the Washington.
Yeah, the Caps. So we just interviewed Nicole Westfall, and she also kind of goes by Coco on Instagram. We had a really great interview with her. I really enjoyed talking to her, and I really like her murals.
Me too. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. We are here with Nicole Westfall. She is a small illustrator who paints big, according to her Instagram. And I found her via some other people that we have interviewed, like Kinship Goods and just like on your Instagram. And also, I like your – I'm from West Virginia. Well, I'm from Boone County originally, so I have seen some of your murals, if I could speak. The 64 project, the one that like when you're going under that overpass. I didn't realize it was yours until I was like looking at your stuff and I was like, oh, how cool. And I just think that your art is really cool and amazing. So thank you for coming on. I don't know what all you want to kind of tell people. I've done a little research from like your website. So I know that you are a Korean American artist and you were born and raised in West Virginia, small town. So were you raised in Charleston or?
No. So I was raised about an hour outside of Charleston. I went to Clay County schools, but I grew up on the line between Kanawha and Clay County. The closest town is Clinton.
Okay. Yeah, I know where that is. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you're on 79.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very small town.
Yeah. I think Clay may actually be smaller than Boone. Maybe.
I don't know. I just looked. This is funny. I looked up the population for Clinton last night and it was a little over 800.
Yeah. That's smaller than my hometown. But like, I think Clay County is smaller because I worked with a girl that was from Clay County years ago. And I remember we were comparing counties.
Did you like her?
That does not sound convincing, but okay. Whatever.
So that's my experience. That's my experience with Clay County.
That makes sense.
But I mean, I think it's very similar to where I'm from. I'm from Boone County, and I don't know if you've met anybody from there. I mean, there's good people and there's that, so I can't, you know. And then, of course, you came from Clay, and you seem pretty great. Yeah. So,
you go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, how did you get started?
Well, I was more
painting
like
murals
in general because I see that you're really into the decorative arts too within your artwork. So I was curious about where you took from. Was it from was there a certain centuries you liked within the art world or any certain artists you liked that inspired you to go into decorative arts more with your murals?
I don't necessarily, I'm not good at this. I was a terrible student when it comes to art history.
Oh, you're fine. I was just curious.
But
you
I really love
that's exactly.
Yes, I am. And usually that world is, I love thrift shopping. And so all of the older decorative pieces of just like painted pottery or crazy patterns and fabrics. Also like growing up, we would do, needlework both in my home. My mom worked with a lot of crafting and then also in high school where you still took home ec. I don't know if they still do that.
Unfortunately, I don't think so. My aunt was a home ec teacher.
So we learned those types of things.
Oh, really? So you were just inspired by all different types of art form within your art. And that's really freaking cool because you brought it into your murals. So all materials.
Right. Yeah, and it's kind of, I don't know, the decorative arts also I felt like I should pay attention to because of my history of dealing with it within a home life, but also the decorative arts were kind of always pushed aside and seen as trivial or frivolous, and also a lot of women's work went under that category, and so I kind of wanted to focus on, I guess, highlighting that or following in those tracks just in a different way.
So how did you even get started with, like, murals and do the large-scale stuff?
So I did one for the Gallery 64 project. So there's a ton of artists who have painted the pillars. Mm-hmm. I did the call for artists and got it. And I think that was my first professional one that I had done. I had used wheat paste, so I had done paper, and they want it to be very permanent. So as someone who didn't know what I was doing, I did that, and then kind of was like, oh, I can just do this all the time. It's fine. You live and you learn. But I started working at Kinship after that, and they had me painting large scale, but more doing like photo backdrops, because we would have parties that went with the seasons, or, you know, the store would be decorated differently. And so I started doing that. And then I actually told myself that I wanted to stop making art. And so I moved across the country and did AmeriCorps and said, I'm going to stop doing visual art. And I made it a few months and then started painting backdrops again and large scale stuff. I came back to West Virginia and I got a fellowship with the Tamarack Foundation, and I thought, okay, well, I have to decide what to be now and find what my art concentration is going to be. And I just chose murals because it's the only art form that I've done that, like, genuinely makes me happy while creating. And it felt like also at the same time people are more interested in doing that and have the funds to get this for places that don't really have public art. And so it just kind of felt like everything lined up. And I mean, it still feels like that because now it's my job.
Yeah. So I did see that you created wallpaper for Kinship Good. And so that's really cool. How did they, was that one of, like, a thing that you painted on the wall and they decided to make it a wallpaper?
So they asked me for a hand-painted wallpaper and that they wanted it to be woodland themed. And then, so I stayed, I think this was done right before Black Friday. And so, you know,
just, yeah, it was November 2018, according to your website.
You could, oh, get up.
Yes. So, yeah, they just asked for something specific. And then, so I did it. They kind of wanted it really whimsical. And then that led me to do another wallpaper and a friend's bathroom that was kind of the same thing, but I haven't done any hand-painted wallpaper since. I loved it. It was a lot of fun.
I did want to go back because I know our listeners, they don't know what Tamarack is. And so what is the Tamarack Foundation? I know Tamarack has different artists in their little stations, but mm-hmm. if you're doing murals, I know you're probably not selling art at the Tamarack location. So what's the foundation?
So I feel like I should look it up and read what their statement
okay.
is.
I'm sorry to
so
put you
don't
on the
completely
spot with Rachel and
botch
I. I'm
this,
like
but it's
you
okay.
Tonight.
I'm like, I'm not ready. The Tamarack Foundation, I can tell you what they have meant to me.
Yeah.
As for what they do in general, they do a lot. The Tamarack Foundation, I got the fellowship, and so every year they choose, I believe, six artists. And they help you with, they give you a stipend. They do workshops to teach you how to be a professional artist. So the business aspects of everything that we're not really taught usually. They help with, they have an exhibition each year with all of the fellows. And I'm like, well, so for me personally, I didn't have a studio. And I always worked in my home. And so they gave me a studio because their office is in Charleston for free. They're always giving us jobs. So I did it in 2021. And they're still helping me, sending me jobs all the time and getting me in contact with people. So it's just really helpful networking. But I think that they also, so they have something that they call the Creative Network. And you can sign up, I believe, for free. It is, no, it definitely is for free. Online for any artists that are working within the state.
No, that's really cool. So It can just be anybody and everybody, and then they'll, like, mm-hmm. help you. Yeah, I think Tamarack's a really pretty, like, location. Like, yeah, like to actually go to the true location, I didn't realize that they did stuff mm-hmm. outside of it. So, and I... Mm-hmm. So what, where's like the furthest you've been to do like a mural?
Probably Florida. Yeah. Okay. I went to Ocala to do the, and apparently Ocala has like a crazy amount of public art per.
They're very, Florida is very good about that with like a lot of their murals down there too. It's interesting. Yeah. It's very interesting. It's like a random part of the world that you would not expect. So, and you're like, well, hello, artsy area. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's awesome, it's so weird. It was really, yeah, it was really great. And then they were really proud to show me like everything that they're doing. And that's always nice.
Typically, how long is how long do some of your projects take? I know some of them do have timelines, but do you ever, like, can it be for months, or what's the longest one you've done for murals?
Well, so recently I've been doing murals on this fabric called PolyTab. And so you can paint it offsite and then install it like permanent wallpaper. And so there's one that I'm working on with another artist in Fayetteville, and we started it, I believe, a few months ago. Well, that's not true. We were supposed to install it in October, but it was too cold, and so now it's going to span until the spring. So probably almost a year. And then so, like, being on site and installing usually doesn't take, I feel like the longest I've been somewhere is a month, but it could take less than that, a couple of days. But the concept and like the conceptualizing, the designing, and then actually painting and installing, I think will the longest will be.
My coworker had that in a DC. It took her like 3 years or so because they kept adding, the presidents too. Not Trump though, not Trump. They said the tree was more important. So no, but that's why I was curious, because sometimes they keep going. Sometimes it could be a year with planning, or it could be like that. And you're mm-hmm. like, wow, like, and it's intense, but awesome to just see that work come together like that. So that's an interesting that you could do that mm-hmm. now with creating that before going into the install site, because they didn't have that for a few years. Like, or not for a long time, that technique. So mm-hmm. it's pretty cool. It's interesting.
Yeah. It opens up a lot of doors. I mean, it makes it really accessible.
So what's the name of it again?
Mural.
If you,
it's PolyTab. It's also called the parachute block method.
I was trying to understand it mm-hmm. again.
So do you paint on it? Is that what happens? Yeah. Not print on it? Okay. I didn't know if like you.
Well, you. Oh, no,
I didn't know if you like did it somewhere or did it like on a computer and then it like printed on this, but you actually physically paint on this PolyTab.
Yeah, so it's a non-woven fabric, and so you can pay. There's a company, I'm not sure where they're located in the U.S., but it's called Mural Provisions, and you can send it to them and just have it printed. You can also get ghost printing, so you could just paint on top of it. But I just buy it, buy the roll, prime it, and then paint on it like canvas.
That's really, I love priming really things. Awesome. You could prime anything and paint on it. That's what's great. I gesso everything.
I just primed my fireplace.
So do they then like glue it like a hair, like is it already like sticky? How do they actually get it to?
Is it like vinyl almost?
Stick for good.
Yeah.
So kind like of. A billboard?
A sticky?
Yeah. It's, well, so I use this special type of glue, and I buy it from the company that I buy my paints from as well. And it dries like a flexible rubber or plastic. So when you adhere the fabric to a porous material like brick, the glue is going to soak into the brick, and then it makes the fabric mm-hmm. get really tight to it, as long as you, when you're adhering
right.
it, you
push so all that very out. Similar to vinyl, but more like,
and so it gets,
but for more material that would like mm-hmm. stay for, yeah, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it just suction cup and stays there.
I love that. I have forever. To look into that method. That's a very, that gives more opportunities too, especially because I loved painting large.
It does.
And you can take your time.
Very cool. Exactly. Like Hannah said, taking your time more too. And then you can actually see it at a different scale more too, because it's harder too when you have to back up and be like, oh shit, that looks bad now.
And I assume like the weather plays probably a really big part when you're painting outside, like covering it probably every night. Like if you're, you know, I'm sure you can't do it all in one day. And if it's going to rain the next day, then you have to have breaks in between. And if you're not from the location, then it's just going to extend your stay.
It's just a lot of factors.
So, yeah. Yeah, just like so many technology.
It can't really help. And then, you know, and then it could cause problems and then it helps again. It's the craziest thing. So what projects are you working on right now?
Currently, I'm painting a few small paintings for a restaurant in Huntington. I'm working on the mural for Love Hope Gallery in Fayetteville with Nicholas Tinkersley, which is the one I mentioned earlier. I'm also working on one in Beckley with another Charleston artist named Melissa, and one in Parkersburg, and... Like
have you started all these on the wall, or have you? I feel like these are a lot of projects. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That is a lot of, I'm juggling. That's the one thing is they'll take a long time, but then I'll juggle so many at the same time to kind of fill the space. And so those three are on Polytap. So the one in Fayetteville has been started on Polytap, the other two have not, they've just been designed.
Yeah.
No, so, you're good. I was saying, wow, that was it. Wow.
Oh, I did see on your Instagram and on your website, there's like a company called Lost Appalachia Trading Company. Is that yours or is that someone else that you just sell a lot of your things? Because I saw you had like a bandana and stuff that you were like featuring on your link tree.
Yes. That is actually, I've talked about him a few times now. That's Nicholas, also Nick. He owns Lost Appalachia. He's a designer on Instagram. His personal page is Indie Tank. But he's just a friend. We got connected because I used to work at Basecamp. And he had bought some things and I wanted to see his shop. So I went up there and took his order and saw his shop. And then I ended up painting a mural for him there. And then, yeah, he's just really supportive, and I have a terrible time with making merchandise, and so he'll come to me and give me the opportunity to do those, and he won't be mad at me when he asks for a bandana, and then I don't make it, like that.
So do you actually paint on the fabric? Is it hand-painted bandanas?
It is not. Oh. It was designed on Illustrator, and then he gets them.
Oh, and so then you did not deliver the illustrated
artwork. I was going to say my friend actually paints with her acrylics on her, like, jean jackets, too. And so I was curious about that because she does mural art, too. Cute. So I was like, oh, maybe she did that, but that's even smarter of you. You get it printed, but you did not deliver the design. But that's okay. Sometime.
It's nice to have the people who are supportive, but then also don't ask so much of you and understand when you're human and you're tired.
Yeah. And sometimes you can't always, you know, you get too much on your plate and you can't like think to design or think to do certain things.
Well, not so much in your noggin too. Like there really is
Yeah.
It's like when you add those projects, it's great. And you're like, this is great. I'm making all this art. But then you're like, oh, God, that's a lot of overdrive.
I know this has nothing to do with your art, but I keep seeing your tattoo. What is it?
This one? Oh, yeah. Doesn't it? It looks like a pot leaf. It's not. It's
I really did think it was.
They're tulips.
No, I saw pretty. I didn't think it was a pot leaf either. I just thought it was really pretty leaves, to be honest. Not that I get mad anyway.
Everyone's always like, oh, why do you have this giant?
Is it indica or sativa? No, Jay.
Yeah.
Who the hell cares anyway?
It's So why do you have a story? Do you want to talk about it or no? If not, that's fine.
Oh, my tattoo? Sure. I mean, I just got it because I have a ton of floral tattoos. Okay. So this one I got to look more like a piece of china. So it's all blue. And then this one I have the letter by Mary Cassatt. And then so it has like
Mary
a floral
Cassatt on your
wallpaper.
Arm? That's awesome. You have Mary. We have a few of her works and stuff. And I'm actually on display right now at the Phillips Collection. They have Degas of her backside because he loved painting her. I don't know why, but he did. So we have her on display right now. So that's cool. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'll have to take a photo for you. And speaking of the china, you know, the on your arm, there was, you know Alma Thomas, a DC artist, she actually, look up her, there's this blue pattern that looks exactly like your arm. You would like her pattern artwork, too. You should look it up. Like, yeah, because it reminds me of you with that. Like, you'll like it. Yeah. Alma Thomas.
What's her name?
So she's known in the DC area because she actually was a teacher first, an art teacher first. And then she found from above, just got inspiration from her rose garden. She found from above how beautiful the world was to look above, so to see all the flowers from below. So she makes all these pattern pieces. And that's really, really pretty. Because she made it her own individual. Yeah.
That sounds like something I would love.
Phillips, you're like, this is so beautiful. So I was like thinking of you because of your art. And I was like, you'll like her. I'll send you a few photos of her stuff. I'll do that. Yeah. You'll like it. I think you'll get inspiration.
Please. Yeah. Sorry to do
that. I'm so sorry too.
Scene.
That's okay. I mean, you know, I have them. They're visible. So, of course.
Yeah, I think they're made to be talked about.
They tell
right?
a story like or they don't.
Yeah. Get them.
I
was just going to say, I guess like my body is.
That's how I feel. I'm just so freaking picky.
It's only sitting.
Why you go with clothing.
So it's like
it's a
different situation. Maybe I could do the temp tattoos. They do that for 3 months.
Or just wear those sleeves. Like there's like fake sleeves that are
so cool. That's so cool. It's like high school all over again.
And then it'll wrinkle. You'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry. let me fix my tattoos. They're just a little scrunch. Forgot to steam them anyway.
We got on a tangent about them.
Or yeah, you'll roll up your sleeves and accidentally roll up your tattoo.
That would happen.
Oh my God!
Whoops! I was like, "This saw nothing."
Didn't mean to do that. Let me roll them down. So, did you start illustrations very young, or how did you get started with that? Because I know. And how old were you when you did start murals? I don't even think we got to that.
So I could always render things as a child, and so I was kind of always supported in doing art, at least as a hobby, because, you know, I could, like, draw something that looked like a flower and do the shading. And so I had always wanted to be an artist, and I don't know if that came from, like, something inside of me or getting the validation as a child that that's what I was good at. So it kind of just was always the path that I wanted. I started doing murals in 2017, I think, if that's what I feel comfortable saying. But then I didn't really start it as a career specifically until last year.
Oh, so really recent.
Mm-hmm.
So is this all you do now?
Yeah, in April.
Besides having like the Tamarack stuff. Now I can't think of the other word you said.
That's okay. That's the Tamarack Fellowship is over. Yes. Yeah. It I had it last year and then it ended.
Okay.
But I mainly do murals. When I have free time, I like to do smaller paintings. I really love doing wood cutout paintings because they're so absurd and fun. I do some illustration work. And I mean, in my free time, I also love to make because I don't know what else to do with my hands. And so I love doing pottery, and I don't do it as much anymore, but I really used to like sewing and working with fabric and doing installation that way. I also have done tattoos. I actually did my arm. That's Mary Cassatt. I've tried everything.
You didn't actually, you drew it, right? And someone else,
No,
you
I
actually
tattooed
tattooed
it.
yourself.
A lot of
That
artists
is
do that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's what happened in my art college. They would buy it and now they're tattoo artists.
Was it painful? I feel like I would be like so hesitant and be like, I gotta stop, it hurts. So it wasn't.
Oh, absolutely not. No, it doing
Yeah.
a hand poke, so it's hand poked, it's not with a machine.
Right.
A hand poke tattoo is not nearly as painful as getting something done with a machine, because if you think about it, it's like one single needle that you have so much control over, and then a machine is kind of just like cutting because it's so many
Yeah, it
needles
just like
going
scissors it. Yeah.
at the same.
That makes sense. So what made you want to do your own tattoo? Were you just like,
Well, so I when I was growing up, I wanted to be a tattoo artist because I thought, oh, that's how I'm going to make a
yeah.
living as an artist. And so I got an apprenticeship at a tattoo studio. I think I was maybe around 20 or 21. And I spent a few months there and then decided I didn't like it.
It's
And
the
so then I went
worst
to college.
world to be. I've talked to a few female tattoo artists and just artists within that world. It is the worst, especially for women and stuff till this day. And it's like so hard to do. Like she got treated like crap. They didn't pay her for 3 months. They made it seem like she was having an apprenticeship, but really he was just using her. And it was just the worst. And then,
Is that what happened to you?
I don't want to say it was not, it wasn't, I wasn't made for it. I'm not made for that. I don't think anyone is made for that specific type of treatment, but I'll just say I wasn't
That
made
is
for the
how it
tattoo world.
is. So now you're in that whimsical fun
But
world is what you got.
yeah, exactly. But I was good friends with someone who was a who's a tattoo artist, and she wanted a hand poke tattoo, and so she just asked me if I would do it, and I said sure, who cares, why not. And so I did it one time and I loved it. So I did it for a little bit, and then it went to the point to where I was doing it a lot, and then I would cry afterwards because I wanted it to be perfect and it wouldn't be perfect. And then so I said, I'm not doing this anymore.
Oh,
what ink would
Yep.
you
So do
use?
you have any? Oh.
Sorry,
What ink?
Hannah.
Is that what you
Yeah,
said?
no, that's what she said.
Okay. I would order it from a tattoo company. It's a professional tattoo company called,
Doesn't
you know
matter. I
what?
was
I don't
just
know what it's
curious.
called,
That
but
doesn't matter.
that's it was the same ink that the guy who did this arm used. I just saw it when he did this, and so I kept a mental note and then ordered it from them. And I got all of my supplies from them too. And then I had already learned like the sanitation methods from where I did work as an apprentice. And so I was able to do that.
So do you have any like crazy horror stories from like doing a mural and you're just like down to the crunch and something happened? Maybe not really a horror story, but just like any funny story that you want to share?
Yes, I
Like
do
I've
have a
come
horror
prepared.
I love
I
it. He's like,
was
oh yeah, let's do
like,
this.
wait a second. So last fall, a company from Minneapolis came in called Good Space Murals, and it was two women, Greta and Kenny, and Greta is the main artist and the owner of the company. And so they came in, and they always hire local artists to help with installs. And our first job was in Parkersburg, and so I went up there and we stayed there. I feel like maybe I don't forget the time period. Maybe it was 2 or 3 weeks. And we're working on this huge mural. I'm like, learn. This is how I learned the polytab method. It's from them. And so as time goes by, Greta's like having some health issues, but she's like, I was sick when I got here. It's fine. But she's like starting to get really sick, and you can tell physically. So she's having a hard time keeping liquids in or even eating. And she's the main artist, so this is like who we're looking up to. And I've never done this before. And so I'm like, okay, but Kenny was there and she helped get the project, finished. And of course, Greta did too. She wasn't that sick. So we finished it. It was great. Then we came back to Charleston to do this one. And within the first week, it was starting to get really, really bad, to where she was like living on Gatorade, because she couldn't eat anything. And we just had to keep her hydrated. But anyway, it got so bad that she had to be hospitalized. And then we couldn't finish the project. And it was really stressful. And she was in the hospital.
Is she okay? Is it was Greta was her name?
She's
Greta's
fine.
fine. Okay.
Yeah, Greta's fine now. I mean, but she had to deal with the hospitals, like, didn't know what was going on with her. So they were just pumping her full of meds. And it was a really stressful time.
Yeah. So it did the
But
mural
I'm not trying
stress
to
her
laugh,
out
but
so much? Is
Jesus.
that what happened?
Did the mural stress her out so much that this
Right.
was a cause
Yes.
of her sickness?
Yeah.
No. No. She went back home
Well,
and they
that's
figured
good. So,
out like what
I
was
mean,
going
not good
on,
for
but
you. And she wasn't contagious or
yeah. She
anything,
just had
so she didn't like pass it on to
no.
anybody else. That's
Well,
good. It sucks for
nope.
Greta, but at
Yeah,
least you guys
but
didn't
it was
get
just a weird
sick.
experience.
Did you get to
We didn't get
finish? Did
sick.
she get to help finish anything or?
Yeah, so she came back this summer and she finished it. The one in Charleston, because the one in Parkersburg was finished. It was good. And it was just like a few things that she needed to paint over, all of the details and finish it and seal it. And but it looks great. It's a good story. She's fine.
Just was a mess for a little bit.
We're all trauma bonded, and
When
so
you have
we'll be
trauma,
friends
brings it
forever.
together, you together.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, is that a new shirt?
Oh, you noticed my new white shirt?
Of course, I noticed it right
It
away.
came in the mail today. I couldn't wait to put it on for today's show.
And hopefully, our listeners know that you can not only order white, but black, pink, and blue t-shirts on our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com.
They can even receive 15% off by using our listener code, Telling People, found in our episode notes.
So make sure before going back to our show that you order your merch now.
Nicole, what would you like to tell people?
I would like to tell people that it is very important and you should prioritize getting a good group of friends who support you. I mean, in life, and then also as an artist, it's very important, but in life, that's something that you should really look for and that you should really foster and nurture.
So, how can people find you so they can follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. My handle is at Coco is painting underscore. So that's COCO is painting underscore. I have Facebook. I don't use it. My website is active. It is not up to date. So Instagram is probably the best.
Yes, and that's how I contacted you. So what were you doing? Because I know it was months ago. Were you painting a mural? Because you're like, oh, I'm not going to be free until November, right? I can't even
Oh,
remember what I
probably. I was
said.
probably doing, I don't know how many did I do. So October, I think I did three and I was supposed to do four. And they none of them were in Charleston, so I had to travel. So one was in Huntington, one was in Morgantown, and one was in Thomas.
Yeah. So I was looking back. Yeah, you said, well, one, it took you 10 days because I was in your hidden request, apparently. And then, which is
Yeah.
actually not as long as some people. So that was good. And then you said that you didn't have availability until November. So
Yep.
that's really awesome that you're booked. What is it? Booked, busy, and blessed. Have you ever?
Yeah. No, but it's awesome. Like I never thought that this would be my job and I never thought that I could do it. And it's wild. And it's crazy to be in Charleston, West Virginia, and
it's
doing
wonderful that you get to do something you love too, because not everyone get says you can do that too with your dreams. And so seeing that and hearing that, it's nice to see and have others resonate with you, because sometimes they get pushed in other directions. And so having some like you come on the show and also saying to have a wonderful support system, and by having that wonderful support system and by following your dreams and getting there, it's honestly helps, because not everyone gets that. So thank you.
No, and I'm very lucky. I've been very fortunate to be able to do it.
Do you see yourself just continuing to do it as long as you can?
Yeah, until I stop getting work, or until my body no longer wants to do it, because it is a hard job.
Well, one good thing about those tabs is I feel like you could be 80 years old and just like painting your chair.
That's what Alma Thomas did. She actually had a big old chair and just sat there and painted when she was in her 80s. So, Hannah, not a bad idea.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be you. I don't know how old you are now, but however many years from now, that's what's going to happen. Where did you even go to college? You said you ended up going back to college. Like, did you stay local or?
It is a local college. I went to West Virginia State University. Okay,
that's where my brother
went. So it's Oh, really? Oh, good. I usually have to, I'm like, it's an HBCU, and Institute is like 15 minutes out of Charleston.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm from Madison, so, or like Boone County, but when did you go? What years?
2014 to 2018.
Okay, so you're pretty young. Oh, you said you started going when you were...
I'm 30. Okay. I just turned 30 this year.
Because I was going to say, I had a lot of friends go there, but they would have gone like 2008 to like 2012. Mm. So, yeah, because that's like the college a lot of people go to in my hometown.
Yeah, it's very affordable.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a big commuter school, so people within a certain amount of
miles. So you were a Yellow Jacket?
I was. Yeah. I was just thinking about it the other day. I was like, you know what? Now's the time. Maybe I should buy a sweater. While I went, I wouldn't have told anyone, but now it feels like I should have some socks or something.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Actually, that's another mural that's the one that I forgot when I was listing the current project. I'm doing it in the spring with some students. Yeah. I knew it. It's like a baby. You always forget the one child, and that was the one.
Your favorite.
No, right? It's true.
Yeah,
no,
what are you talking about?
I mean, no one says that. Left in a freaking clothing rack. You never know. You're like, got the one. You're like, shit, Johnny's in the clothing rack.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's...
Yeah, you have too many kids if you start.
But you also have a lot of projects, so it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, which is a good thing. It's a good thing.
It is. But also, I'm going to keep that in my mind. If I am forgetting one
just
of the
make
kids.
Make sure you don't have too many kids then.
I'm going to think about that.
Do
yeah.
Do you have any children at this time besides projects?
That's good. I have three cats. Those are fur babies. Hannah has two cats.
So.
Do you forget their names?
Yeah, absolutely not. Of course not. Sometimes I do get mixed up and I'll start to say one's name and then I'll stop myself. I'll be like, that's not the one.
Yeah.
But
thank you so much for coming on. It was
thank
really
you,
great
Nicole.
To talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
This seems like a great time to pause and tell everyone to subscribe
so they will be notified of our next episode.
It isn't like you have anything else to do, right?
Exactly. Make sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Stay healthy, everyone, and now back to our show.
What did you think about this episode, Hannah?
I really liked it, and I guess I always have to say when they're from West Virginia, I am biased because they're from West Virginia, But I really thought Nicole had an interesting story because she just recently decided to go full time with being a muralist, which is crazy. And I'm really excited and proud that she, you know, I don't know her, but I am proud that she's from West Virginia and is able to go out, and she travels and people are wanting her outside of it. And she also gets to do a lot in state. And, you know, she had the Tamarack Fellowship last year, which is really cool that she was able to do that. And they got her jobs and they still continue to support her. And if anybody ever has a chance to go to Tamarack, it's a really cool artist location. People actually work out of it. It's very, if you ever go to Alexandria and the Torpedo Company, it's kind of similar vibe of that. Like each artist has its own.
The Torpedo Factory.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the factory.
Oh, that's very cool because that's similar to the sorry for interrupting. That's similar from the Workhouse Center and Lord and
Yeah.
Workhouse.
So
very
like each
cool.
play, each artist has like a station that you can like watch or you know like sell their stuff, and you can watch people like blow glass and like do, you know, like, and they have their places that they can sell. And mm-hmm. I don't know how much of like a studio like the Torpedo Factory, but they have their place where they can sell their art. And I do know like Blowing Glass, you can watch that live behind glass, actually. It's kind of like they're in a zoo. But
my poppy did that in his lab for fun.
Yeah. No, that's like, I love watching people blow glass.
I'm actually want to take a class actually on that. So yeah. Hey, if you ever want to do
a
it with
class
me, you know.
On glass.
Ha ha ha.
Yes.
Sorry, but yeah.
But
sorry.
Yeah, no, and I just really, you know, I enjoyed talking to her, and I, you know, I really love seeing her art and actually seeing it. And now I have like a connection because of the 64 project. I know, you know, the gallery 64 project, it's under a bridge, and there's all these amazing murals and art pieces, and they've made something that's like kind of gloomy because it's under a bridge, but you have to drive to get to the end. So it's like really great to look at, and you get there, you get stopped under there a lot. So to have such nice paintings, and now, you know, I know that she's there, and it's really cool to kind of pick that out. And I'm excited to see what her other projects will be in the future and kind of see what she'll do and what she'll grow to be. So what did you think about this episode?
To go off of what you were saying about being under the bridge, I bet like what her words were saying was whimsical, joyful, and full of like color blocks. So I bet that's what's really lovely and nice to see, especially under a dark bridge and in traffic, right? So to go off of that, I really love that she incorporates, I would say her, everyone does with their own art like you do with your photography, but their own personality within it since she was young, and along with all the tools she learned from stitching with fabrics, etc., to even doing tattooing on herself. And she incorporates all of those tools and materials within her work. Even if it is painting, it's still using just resources at your fingertips since you're young. And so I found on this episode really interesting too, because it is very hard to be a full-time artist. So when you can start to get that drive and dedication to it and scheduling, it is a wonderful opportunity. So I really can't wait to see her not even expand, but continue with this, because as you were saying earlier with doing the mural on the Poly tab now too, and she could do it even into her 85 if her body allows it. And so I think it's just great because she could still be doing what she loves until she's older. And I feel like she's going to inspire more people like myself too, to be like, you know what, this avenue, it's going to be hard, but you can get to it. Like, listen to a lot of our other guests too. They honestly follow your dreams is what I love that she basically said too. So
yeah, no, and it was really cool that she can continue to do it. She doesn't have to be on location and everything. So next week we'll be taking a break because it is Thanksgiving, and we do have a episode from season one talking about Thanksgiving and things that we are thankful for, and some of our guests that came on as well as friends kind of sent that in, and it's 3 years old, but it's still a great listen to hear what people are thankful for. And we are thankful for our listeners.
What I'd Like to Tell People is an independent podcast recorded and edited by us, Rachel and
Hannah. Our theme song is written and recorded by Sean Price.
Please like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Make sure to subscribe to our show so you can receive the latest episode. Also, rate and review our episodes so we can receive more listeners.
Go to our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com. Find the link and more information in the episode notes.
Until next week.
And this was What I'd Like to Tell People.